Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Led Zeppelin recorded the greatest guitar solo of all time in 1971. So what has the instrument done for us lately? Welcome to Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we debate the death of the guitar solo. And later, Mexican electronic group Sweet Electra performs live in our studio. Since its release in 1971, Stairway to Heaven has been the most requested song on FM radio in the U.S. with over 3 million broadcasts. And it includes this epic solo by Jimmy Page. But the anthemic shred-a-thon of the 70s and 80s has largely disappeared from radio today. You won't find it on the Billboard charts or iTunes' most downloaded list. No Jimi Hendrix, no Eric Clapton achieving godlike status among the masses these days. But is the guitar solo really gone for good? And should it be? Today we debate, to shred or not to shred. It's this week's
Soundcheck Smackdown.
Our pro guitar solo gladiator today is Brad Tolinsky. He's editor-in-chief of Guitar World magazine, which earlier this year named Stairway to Heaven the greatest guitar solo of all time. And on the line with us is Kevin Chong, a Vancouver-based journalist and author of the book Neil Young Nation. His article in the CBC announced the thrill is gone. Kevin, Brad, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks, John.
Hey, John.
Brad, your list of top 50 guitar solos of all time includes, of course, Stairway to Heaven, the Jimmy Page solo, but there is not a single piece of music after 1997 on that list. What is that saying about the place of the guitar solo these days?
Well, to be honest with you, that list that you're referring to was created quite a while ago. It's not a current list, and if it was, I probably would include several new artists in it.
Mm-hmm. How long was that thing kicking around before you finally published it earlier this year?
I didn't publish it earlier this year.
Really? Because I thought it came out in January, no?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
I know what you're referring to, actually. Forgive me. It was actually a reprint from an earlier issue.
Okay.
I'm sorry
All
about
right.
that.
Well, you know, but still, it is kind of striking that, you know, to get the classic guitar solos, you have to be looking at what we now call classic rock, you know, stuff from the late 60s, the 70s, perhaps the early 80s. Kevin, you write that in the 1990s, the guitar solo became uncool. Why would that have happened?
First, before I go into that, I want to say I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of Guitar World as a teenager. I spent countless hours trying to learn the solos to One and Stairway to Heaven and the Rain Song by Led Zeppelin. It was just I'm really honored to be on a phone interview with the editor of Guitar World magazine. It's just a thrill spot for me.
All right, Kevin. Enough stroking. Start smacking.
Okay. Guitar solo died in the 90s basically because of grunge. During the 80s, you know, the guitar solo was such an important thing that, you know, like somebody like Michael Jackson would bring Eddie Van Halen to do a guitar solo. Somebody would bring David Bowie would bring in Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, to play a guitar solo on like
Let's
a dance,
dance
song,
yeah.
You know, and at some point, like, the guitar solo just became defiantly unhip. It just became something that that was just really uncool because of bands like Nirvana and bands like Green Day, you know, who favored just authenticity over the noodling that you would see in all these 80s bands like Warrant and Skid Row and
So you're saying, Kevin, that the bands of the 90s were reacting to kind of like the hair bands of the 1980s with their guitar solos that sort of became very dated sounding?
Yeah, and the bands of the 90s were, you know, were fans of punk bands who were reacting to the arena rock of the 70s, where, you know, Jimmy Page, who's a guitar player I love, but, you know, they, you listen to those live recordings, he'd do, like, 20-minute guitar solos, and like, you know, like, associated with the excess, you know, like, Jimmy Page would play this 30-minute guitar solo, and then Robert Plant would probably bring in a groupie to the backstage area or something. It just seemed like
Is that what was going on?
Excessive, and that's the problem with the guitar solo. It just didn't seem at some point like it was no longer a part of the song. It was like some sort of a break from the song, you know. Whereas in the past, when you had bands like George Harrison with the Beatles or even Jimi Hendrix, you know, like the guitar soloing was very closely woven into the song.
Brad, there's a couple of good points Kevin makes. One is, you know, punk in the 70s had very little use for guitar solos, so this isn't really a new trend. And hip-hop, of course, you know, a dominant popular music form, also not really a place where you go to hear guitar solos. So, you know,
I think over the last couple of years, the guitar solo has really undergone a renaissance, if anything. The guitar solo is alive and living, if not thriving. The confusion here is that mainstream pop radio is currently dominated by R&B and hip-hop influenced music. And the guitar solo has never really been an important part of that genre. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now it's almost as if you could imagine in the 60s that Motown, Stax, or Gamble and Huff had completely dominated the airwaves. I mean, what is interesting about rock is since 2000, it's significant because in the new millennium, it might be the first decade in rock history where nothing really significant happened and no major influential guitar-based rock acts, except maybe, you know, maybe the White Stripes emerged. But instead, there's been an increased appreciation for styles of the past. There's been a huge splintering and diversification of subgroups with cult-like followings.
That's just the way the industry as a whole has gone. Why is that, though? I mean, why don't we have rock groups who make their quote-unquote lead guitarist the sort of the focal point of attention, you know? I mean, in the 70s, you had the Jay Giles band. The Jay Giles didn't even sing. He was just the guitarist, but it was very much his band, Peter Wolf's vocals notwithstanding. Where are the Eddie Van Halens? Where are the Jimi Hendrixes of today?
Well, they're all over the place. I mean, you can find them in many different areas. There's like newer in the metal genre, which is always the guitar solo is always ruled. It's bands like Trivium, Children of Bodom, Avenged Sevenfold, Lamb of God have players of astounding proficiency. And I think even in the alternative rock world, you have guys like Jack White, who's a huge guitarist, a huge talent. Muse's new record with this guy, Matthew Bellamy, has, you know, an incredibly great guitar player. Nels Klein from Wilco, major soloist. Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. Omar Rodriguez Lopez, Mars Volta, is an incredibly original stylist. There's Bucketheads, there's guys in Mastodon. I mean, they're all over the place. It's just that in the pop idiom, nobody, I guess, really cares to express themselves in that sort of 3-minute dance thing that's dominating the airwaves at the moment.
So you mentioned the Mars Volta, and that's a current group, a current guitarist. Is he an example of what you're talking about, that the guitar solo isn't quite ready to be buried yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go and see a Mars Volta show, it's a wall-to-wall guitars, extended soloing, like what we were talking about with Led Zeppelin.
This is Omar Rodriguez Lopez, the guitarist for the band The Mars Volta. The That is the Mars Volta, featuring their guitarist Omar Rodriguez Lopez, who's obviously not above a little shredding, even while the vocals are going. The song called Ariatarka from the Mars Volta. And on Soundcheck's weekly SmackDown this week, we are debating the guitar solo, which seems to have fallen off the map in terms of popular music, and we're trying to determine why and whether we should pull the fork out of the guitar solo, because it ain't done yet.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
So I'm driving upstate. I've got John Doe's album A Year in the Wilderness on when I suddenly have to pull the car over. A soft, acoustic, bittersweet song suddenly erupts into a squall of emotion, not through John Doe's singing, but through a guitar solo by Greg Lease. It only took a minute, but I realized I couldn't remember the last time that happened.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
I have to say, Brad Tulinski, editor-in-chief of Guitar World magazine, I when that happened to me, I was like, wow, this is a great musical moment. But it's been years since I heard a guitar solo, you know, that really moved me that way. I mean, does Kevin have a point, Kevin Chong out in Vancouver, when he says that, you know, the guitar solo did go through a period where it became unhip, uncool because of its association with the hair bands of the 80s?
Yeah, I do think during the 90s there was a spot in time. It was sort of a long period, you know, 5-6 years, particularly through grunge, that the guitar solo became a bit uncool. And also, but it also always had its champions. I mean, during that time you still had guys like Dimebag Darrell from Pantera, or Alice in Chains, and even Pearl Jam.
But again, you know, as you get towards the heavy metal end with Pantera and bands like that, that's always been there. What about Kevin's other point, though, which is, you know, the 20-minute solo that adds nothing to the song, and in fact, maybe by the end of it, you've forgotten which song you were listening to at the beginning.
Well, you know, I mean, it's all a matter of taste, isn't it? I think Trey Anastasio from Fish or Warren Haynes from the Allman Brothers might disagree about that. You know, if you're a guitar fan, this is actually an incredible time with incredible players.
There are amazing players out there, no doubt about it. Sean in Brooklyn writes, I beg to differ. Nirvana had solos. They were just not the same. They were just weirder, more dissonant. Elliott Smith had great solos, think Big Star. They, too, were just more apart from the melody. They were less flamboyant kinds of solos.
The alternative rock world has traditionally focused more on texture than virtuosity. It doesn't make them any less good.
Of a soloist, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin, isn't there a place in rock for virtuosity? I mean, shouldn't we expect that the people who are out there on the stage, and especially on the big stage, should have some serious chops?
There's a place for the ones who can, like the Jack Whites, the extraordinary, exceptional lead guitar players. I think that they're the ones who should be soloing. But I don't think there should be, as there was in the 80s, like a required compulsory guitar solo, because a lot of those guitar heroes back in the day were not very good. They were just very forgettable, technically proficient players. And I think a lot of the people I think of as great guitar players aren't people you think of as shredders, like David Rawlings, who plays with Gillian Welch.
Mm-hmm.
Such a wonderful guitar player, and he probably plays a million notes a minute. But at the same time, his accompanying is so integral to the song, especially since there are only two players in that group, that you don't really think of that shredding, you know. And I feel if there's any role for a guitar player, it's probably the really good ones and the ones who can sort of incorporate they're playing into the song.
A really good point. And Kevin, if you're familiar with the band The National, Bryce Dessner is a classically trained guitarist and composer. He is a really, there are two amazing guitarists, Bryce and his twin brother Aaron, in this band. There's great guitar playing, but you won't hear any long extended solos. Band is The National out of Brooklyn, and Mistaken for Strangers, two great guitarists. They don't really go in much for solos, and that is that's pretty much the way it works in the indie rock world. We're debating the status of the guitar solo, which seems to be missing from a lot of today's rock, with Brad Tilinski, editor-in-chief of Guitar World magazine, and Kevin Chung, Vancouver-based journalist, author of the book Neil Young Nation, A Quest, an Obsession, and a True Story. And a number of Soundcheck listeners have already left their comments on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. You can leave one, too, or you can call us on the line at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Do you mourn the death of the guitar solo, or did you always find something a little self-indulgent about them? JG from New York asks, where are the Hendrixes of today? What about Prince? Brad?
Well, Prince is an incredible guitar player and, you know, very disciplined. He can sort of go either way. He plays for the song, but he also realizes the sort of dramatic possibilities of a good instrumental break, too. You know, I don't know. I really think that just because pop isn't pointing out these people, it doesn't mean that they don't necessarily exist. Derek Trucks is somebody who is an incredibly original voice. I mean, he can take his slide guitar and make it sound like the most heartrending sort of gospel singer you can imagine.
And 10 seconds later, you're in southern India.
Yes.
He's got that element as well. Yeah, he's an amazing player. They're definitely out there.
It could say something about our culture as to what's popular at the moment. I mean, you know, reality TV is really big, the quick hit, the quick fix, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bunch of wonderful players out there for those who want to go and look around.
William from Greenpoint has a funny comment. I can remember seeing the Talking Heads do Take Me to the River on Saturday Night Live when I was 12 years old, and I thought to myself, you call that a guitar solo? He goes on to write, what made the Dinosaur guitarists great was that nobody had done it before, and what made it so popular was that it also happened to be not that technically difficult compared to Wes's solo on West Coast Blues, for example. I'm sure there are many people who will take issue with that idea, that some of these are not particularly difficult, that it's just running up and down the fretboard really fast. But what about that idea of, you know, the idea that a guitar solo, it has just changed what we expect a guitar solo to be? I mean, a good example would be Tom Verlaine from the band Television, came of age around the same time as Talking Heads. Long guitar solos, him and Richard Lloyd, reforms the band in the 1990s. The guitar solos, when they occur, are literally like two bars long, you
right,
know?
Right.
But these days, may I interrupt?
Go ahead.
I was a big fan of indie rock in the 90s, and back then you had guitar heroes of a sort, like Joey Santiago of the Pixies.
Kim Thayil,
Built to Spill. And Dinosaur Jr. by Jay Maskus, you know. And nowadays, you know, I still love guitar rock, you know, but it's different. Like a band like My Morning Jacket, which I love, they play a lot of lead guitar lines, but they don't come in solo breaks most of the time. They're done as in an outro kind of thing, you know, when the song's kind of like fading out. Mm-hmm. There's like some
interesting that you mention the term guitar hero, because When we come back from break, Brad, let's talk about the game Guitar Hero and what that might mean in a culture where the guitar solo seems to suddenly be missing in action. We've been talking about guitar solos, and we've been talking mostly about guys. But there are some serious shredders who are not guys. Khaki King, the diminutive female guitarist from right here in New York. Amazing guitarist, and this is a little bit of her music. Bone Chaos in the Castle from Khaki King. Up next, Guitar Hero and Rock Band are two of today's hottest video games. We'll find out if they're having any impact on the real guitar solo, coming up in a moment. And then later, they may or may not shred, but the Mexican band Sweet Electra will wield an axe or two when they play live for us in our studio. That's coming up later on Soundcheck.
In the center of my feelings where nobody belongs. Forgetting what I feel for you, blinding my perception of you.
Guitarists are often students of history. In 1997, Radiohead patterned their epic song, Paranoid Android, after the Beatles' Happiness is a Warm Gun, which was written almost 30 years earlier. But some say the solo of the 60s or the 90s has disappeared from music. And some say good riddance. We're debating the guitar solo in our Soundcheck Smackdown with Brad Tolinsky, editor-in-chief of Guitar World magazine, and Kevin Chong, a Vancouver-based journalist and author of the book Neil Young Nation. And we've got a number of comments coming in, calls on the line. You can join us as well, 212-433-9692. Looks like we got lots of people. Brad, on your side of the fence, in favor of or saying that the guitar solo is not dead, we've got a couple of lines clear for the other side, people who support Kevin's side of the debate. Give us a call, 212-433-9692. If you agree that the guitar solo has sort of disappeared from pop music, and if you're just as well pleased about it, give us a call and let us know why. 212-433-9692. But Richard in Manhattan, I'm assuming, Rich, that you are you are in favor of the guitar solo.
Yes, I am.
Why?
I'm a guitar player myself, and I can certainly appreciate all types of musicianship. But I think that if you are good at phrasing and conveying emotion on guitar, that's really what matters. Same as being a good singer.
Do you need to have a solo to do that, though?
No, certainly not. But, you know, it's a prominent instrument in rock. And why not?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's what we're really debating here, is whether it still is the prominent instrument. I mean, there's so much guitar-based rock out there. And yet, you know, a lot of it is more kind of textural. A lot of the indie rock that we've been talking about. And of course, Dave G. in Highbridge, New Jersey, is calling me on this. He's saying, John, where have you been? The guitar is alive and well. You're just listening to too much hipster pop and trying to stir up trouble. What about the jam band scene? And, of course, metal. Now, Brad, you've mentioned both of those scenes already. The guitar alive and well there. The fact, though, is the stuff that you hear, you know, that's kind of on the radio, on TV, the stuff that actually gets played on wherever music is played these days, which tends to be TV commercials and the OC and shows like that, you're not hearing the guitar solos.
Yeah, I think one place where you hear it, and it might have caused some of the problem in the first place, was you would hear it on, like, the Power Rangers and stuff like that, a lot of those shows. A lot of guitar solos, I think, even had contributed to people getting a little sick of it. But, again, I would say, look, I don't think you have to dig too deep. I mean, again, even in the alternative rock world, there's people doing magnificent stuff. Mastodon, John Frusciante, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, a guy that...
Could it be a good thing that people don't feel obliged to do guitar solos with every song?
I was thinking that. You know, I mean, part of this is also a maturity that comes along with... you know, where the guitar's been. At first, there was that initial explosion because people were so excited with this new sound that they could create. And, you know, it's interesting. People now pick their spots. I just listened to the new Arctic Monkeys record, which I really like. I think it's really great. And sort of what's nice about it is sort of every third or fourth song, they'll pop like a great guitar solo in it, and it becomes like this refreshing thing, this, you know, it really adds a novel aspect to what they're doing. You know, it's a great diversion, and you know, they have a lot of personality and thought that goes into that.
Dave in New York writes, REM and U2 provide riffs but no solos. Most solos belong to blues based tunes, much out of favor now. An interesting point that with the rise of the guitar based band, we are hearing a lot more hooks, a lot more riffs, and when there is a bridge, very often the guitarist might expand the hook a little bit, but you won't get a full-blown solo. Kevin, do you think that's going to change with Guitar Hero 5 out this month, 25 new guitarists in the game, the Beatles Rock Band is coming out next Wednesday? Doesn't this perhaps signal a kind of a renewed interest in the guitar and perhaps even the guitar solo?
I wish it were the case, you know, because I'm still fond of the guitar solo in certain cases, but I don't think so. I really feel like it's, you know, you have all the YouTube videos of people playing Pachelbel Canon at 50 million notes a minute on YouTube that have been watched a million times, and you'll have the guitar player thing. You know, there's still an affection for the Guitar Hero, but nobody actually wants to listen to it, listen to a song with lots of guitar solos in them.
Hugh is joining us on the line from New York. Let's see what he has to say. I mean, Hugh, Kevin's saying nobody wants to listen to, you know, one guitar solo after another. What do you think?
Well, as a lead guitarist, I kind of agree.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, you know, I'm 57. I've been playing all my life, pretty much. And I have to say that there was really only one great guitar player from the 60s, which was Hendrix. And everybody else was a pale imitation thereafter. And people like Page, I beg to differ about Stairway to Heaven. It's an okay solo, but it's way too long. Hendrix could pull that stuff off, but even when he recorded, he didn't. If you listen to the entire, with exception of the longer tracks, but all the shortcuts on Electric Ladyland, top to bottom, it's incredibly well thought out, neat, well-framed guitar lines, and the apogee would be all along the Watchtower. So I think, you know, everybody that thinks they can play for 20 minutes, you know, two choruses, if you can't say it in two choruses, you can't say it.
Interesting call. Thanks, Hugh. Sam, speaking of women guitarists, Ani DeFranco has continually blown me away with what she can do with a guitar. And Jeff joining us on the line from Brooklyn. Jeff, where are you in this pro-con
debate?
I
like guitar solos, but, you know, you don't have to have a 20-minute guitar solo to have an 8-bar guitar solo that's really good. I mean, that Radiohead thing you played was, that's not the, like, bulk of the song. It's just that one section of the song, right?
Right, so, right. It's a 3-part song, and that kind of is one of the bridges from, like, part B to C, or maybe it's A to B.
Yeah, and it's also, like, is a good guitar solo, like, a shredder solo? Because Jay Mascis can shred as good as anybody, but, I mean, Ben Curtis from the School of Seven Bells is a really awesome guitar player who does a lot more sort of, like you were saying earlier, textural stuff, but it's still kind of solo-y, you know what I mean? It's like an instrumental break where you're paying attention to that instrument. It's a break from the voice. I think it has value in the pop song. It just doesn't have to be the same, you know, blues-based thing that the previous caller was referring to as
commenters was referring to that.
I don't really think, you know, mindless, I don't encourage any mindless self-indulgence, and I think everybody's right when they're saying it's the rare guitarist that can sustain a 10-minute solo. I mean, there are a few guys out there that can probably do it, but they are.
Was Hendrix one of them? Do you agree with you as far as that goes? Was Hendrix one of them?
Machine Gun is probably the height of the art. And it was.
But that was over. That was 40 years ago. So again, we come back to my opening question: what have you done for me lately?
Well, Charlie Parker and John Coltrane, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's true. You know, he's a once in a lifetime artist, but there are other people, like I said.
But let's leave it with Jimi Hendrix as long as let's go out on the high note. Brad Tulinski, the editor in chief of Guitar World magazine, and with us on the line, Kevin Chung, Vancouver-based journalist, author of the book Neil Young Nation. Brad, Kevin, thank you both, and to everyone who called in and wrote in, thank you for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks, John.
And the debate continues. Check out the comments page on our website, the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Still to come, a live performance in our studio from the Mexican-bred, Brooklyn-based group Sweet Electra. And tune in tomorrow as we look at a classic ethical dilemma: when great music comes from bad people. Tomorrow on Soundcheck.